Satan is very threatened by you because he sees Christ in you, the hope of glory. And my Bible tells me this, that even the demons flee and tremble at the name of King Jesus. And so you have the same resurrection power that raised him from the dead that lives inside of you. And if you go out and think, hey, you know what, I'm just going to run around Tampa Bay and the enemy is going to leave me alone, you're reading the wrong book. Now, I got good news for you. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. That we can go forward. We must go forward. We must advance the light of the gospel and pierce the darkness more and more, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, moment by moment. We must be on God's page, on his agenda, because there's a lost and dying world that's looking for anything, I mean anything, to fill the void and dull the pain.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, one of my passions is intentional, urgent, and desperate discipleship. And as I lead individuals and churches, and even businesses, through what it means to unlock true biblical discipleship, I've been asked, how can I get untangled from sin? I don't know about you, but that fires me up. Because when I hear a person or even multiple people plead to learn how they can become untangled from sin, this screams like a neon billboard that they are tired of casual Christianity, they're tired of country club Christianity, and they desire in all that they do to live a life that's obedient and well-pleasing to King Jesus, who died in their place. Well, with that said, let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, looking at verse 4, as I pray that we are encouraged, I pray that we are challenged, and I pray that we are greatly stirred to our core as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Getting Untangled from Sin.
Father, we come before you today and saying that you're great is simply an understatement. No eye has seen, no ear has heard the greatness of who you really are. And yet, God, we want to, with everything that we have in this service, in this prayer, in this message that is to follow, we want to just worship you. We want to give you honor, to give you glory, to give you praise. And we do want to simply just say how great thou art. And so, God, we pray over these next few moments as we open your glorious word, would you speak in such a powerful, profound way that no matter how we came into this room, God, I pray that we would leave a changed person. And so, God, for that to happen, I have to decrease and you have to increase infinitely. And so I pray right now, you just do that. You take center stage. Holy Spirit, begin right now to cultivate our hearts. Make us fertile soil so that we will not only hear the word, but be doers also. And so, God, we lift up every concern, every trouble, every trial, every tribulation. And we just cast all of that aside right now, and we just worship you, O holy gods. Bow your ear down to us now as we begin to worship you, and we'll give you praise, we will give you glory, And we pray this in the name that's above every name. We pray this in the name that he's no longer in the grave, but the grave is forever empty. We pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2, going to be looking at verse 4 today. And the title of the message is simply this: how to get untangled from sin. How to get untangled from sin. We live in this earthly life, we live in these earthly bodies, and there's this thing called sin that so easily ensnares and entangles us. There's this thing called sin that so easily besets us. And Romans 13, 14, real easy one to remember, right? 11, 12, 13, 14, right? Romans 13, 14 is such a great verse because it simply says this: put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Right there is the secret for your life. Right there it is. That we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we clothe ourselves in Him and His righteousness alone. And as the song says, we are now faultless to stand before the throne. Faultless stand before the throne. But we still live in these bodies of death, don't we? And we struggle. And we cross that center line so easily, don't we? We have good motives. We get up. It's been a good day so far. We haven't even gotten out of bed, but it's been a good day. Haven't stumbled too much. And then we get out, our feet hit the floor, life takes over, and we no longer look at Jesus, we're looking at our problems. We're no longer looking at Jesus, we're looking at all the trials. We're no longer looking at Jesus, we're looking at all the things that are jockeying for our attention. And Paul implored that group there in Rome to say, look, just clothe yourselves, put on the Lord Jesus Christ all day long, 24/7, 365, and be very intentional about not making a provision for the flesh. It's interesting because then you look all the way in 2 Timothy, and there you are in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Paul is writing to Timothy, who, young Timothy, pastoring the church in Ephesus, facing some challenges, facing some discouragement that we all do as we go out and we minister for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul comes out of the gate in chapter 1 and he's saying to Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of me, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the word. Matter of fact, he goes on a little later in chapter 1 and he says this, For I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day. That's a man who's been radically rescued by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And then he rolls into chapter 2, and he says this in chapter 2, verse 1. We'll read it in context. It says this: you, therefore, my son, not my physical son, but my spiritual son, Timothy, Paul writes, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You talk about a linchpin discipleship verse. There she is. 2 Timothy 2:2. Verse 3. You, therefore, we don't like this verse. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Our key verse, verse 4 today. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Paul goes on later throughout the text and talks about farming. He talks about the athletics, competing athletics. But we're focused right here on being a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. We are in a war. I don't know if you know this or not, but we are in a war. Ephesians 6 and following tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But this is a spiritual war we are in. And for you today in this room that are passionate about the Lord being the Lord of your life, being the boss, being the master, if you're passionate about God being everything in your life, the reality is that Satan doesn't just sit back and say, hey, go knock yourself out, enjoy this, hope it succeeds very well for you as you pursue the Lord. That's not what Satan does. Satan is very threatened by you because he sees Christ in you, the hope of glory. And my Bible tells me this, that even the demons flee and tremble at the name of King Jesus. And so you have the same resurrection power that raised him from the dead that lives inside of you. And if you go out and think, hey, you know what, I'm just going to run around Tampa Bay and the enemy is going to leave me alone, you're reading the wrong book. Now, I got good news for you. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. That we can go forward. We must go forward. We must advance the light of the gospel and pierce the darkness more and more, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, moment by moment. We must be on God's page, on his agenda, because there's a lost and dying world that's looking for anything, I mean anything, to fill the void and dull the pain. And yet, even in the most holy of us in this room today, there's still this thing called sin. And we didn't know how to get untangled, amen? Paul writes here in verse 4, he says, no one engaged in warfare. That word engaged there in the original language just means this, to be involved. But let's take it a step further for just a moment here. How many of you are married in the room? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed, by the way. Raise your hand. Get it high. Some of you dudes are kind of doing one of these numbers right here. No, get her up really high. Come on, let me see that. There we go. Something happened that when you got married, before you got married, you got not engaged, but engaged. Amen? All right, now, engaged, right? It wasn't engaged. It was engaged. Some of you that are married are sitting really far apart this morning. I've just noticed, by the way. So this might be a good one to come in really close. You know what I mean? And so here's the deal. You got engaged. Here's what happened. When you gave the ring, guy, to your girl, you said, we're going to be committed. We're going to be surrendered to one another. We're going to be involved.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
No one who is committed, surrendered, involved in this warfare, this spiritual war that's going on, no one who is entwined in that does what? Entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. When you are committed, when you are surrendered, when you are in this thing for the long haul, you know, this isn't one of these deals where we sign up for Jesus one day and he's not going my way anymore, not doing what I want to do, and these aren't my plans and not my hopes and dreams anymore, and so we just divorce Jesus. That's not how this works. When the head knowledge, the doctrinal knowledge, moves them to the heart, radically being ripped wide open. And Jesus bursts forth into that heart with glorious strength. And he comes through and he takes the heart that you would never in a million years think could ever go on a good path, let alone a holy path. And you see God show up. And when God shows up, God shows off.
Amen.
I don't know about you. Like, just take this one to the bank. This check will cash. When God truly shows up, God always shows off.
Amen.
We just heard the testimony from the brother this morning. I mean, think about how insane this is. Okay, guys, we're going to take on mighty Jericho. Up there on the hill, fortified walls. Here's our plan. You ready? Don't get your guns. Don't get your bows. Don't get your arrows. We're going to march around, and then I want you to yell at it. I want you to yell at it. See, that's how big my God is. But my God doesn't need human advice. My God doesn't need human help. My God doesn't need us to begin to rationalize in the flesh. My God is all sufficient to do everything that He desires to accomplish in His sovereign plan, period. But yet, here's this sin thing, right, that we get so ensnared with. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 tells us this, that we're to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, that for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and we're to do what? We're to cast off. We are to throw off all of the sin and any of the weight that so easily ensnares us. See, for him, Paul said to Timothy, for him, no one engaged, involved in warfare, entangles himself. Literally, that word entangles means this. It means to be inwoven. And I want you to picture this. Picture being in a dense tropical forest, and you're in a dense tropical forest, and you're walking through the brush, and you can't see, nor can you get through it, because it's so dense. That's what he's trying to communicate in the original language about how thick this is, this entanglement. Anyone ever walked into a spider web before? Yeah. Couple of us. Man, you know where I'm going with this one, don't you? Like, especially when it's nighttime. Anyone ever walked into a spider web at nighttime? Who likes spiders? Raise your hand. Like, no one likes spiders. Okay, all right, that's fine. But here's the deal. So, you know, you walk into the spider web and it's night, right? And the neighbors that are always spying on you, they're going to get a ringside seat to you going Pentecostal in the middle of the night, right? Because when you walk into that spider web in the middle of the night, you just don't sit there and go, I walked into a spider web. That was pretty cool. What are you doing, man? You're like beating yourself over the head, aren't you? I mean, you're just like, whatever you got to do, man, you're doing one of these. Your neighbor, they're out there with their binoculars because they always spy at you. They put them right there by the kitchen sink, don't they? They're looking across the way. And Merle, you wouldn't believe what Pastor John's doing outside. He's going back to Costello on me. Yeah. And we're just trying to get so untangled from this web. That's sin. That's sin. Man, the harder you fight on your own, the more ensnared you become. If you're going to try to conquer your addiction on your own, good luck. But I know this, with my God, all things are possible.
Yes.
No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The word please there in the original language means this, to accommodate one's desires to the desires of somebody else. Now that right there alone trips all of us up. Amen? Because we're selfish, we're inward focused people. This is how we are. We're wired this way. And Paul says, Timothy, there's not just a better way, there's the best way. And the best way, as Paul even said there, that I make it my aim. I make it my aim to be well-pleasing to the Lord. I make it my aim. It's my goal. It's all that I am. I wake up. I live my day. I go to sleep. I make it my aim to be well-pleasing to the Lord. You say, well, how then do we get untangled? We see we're involved in it from time to time. We see that we get ensnared in it. We want to please the Lord. How do we get untangled? Here it is. I'm going to give you four practical ways today that you can get untangled from your sin. Your alcoholism, your drug addiction, your sex addiction, the bitterness from the wounds that have been suppressed for decades that are now ruling your life, the unforgiveness, the envy, the coveting, all of the attitudes of the heart. I'm going to show you today four biblical steps on how you can no longer be entangled with the affairs of this life in sin, but you can begin to please the one who radically died in your place starting right now. Here it is. Number one, write it down. I must be God-centered. God-centered. And right next to that, I want you to write this down. What I am centered on is always what I pursue. Let me say this again. Number one is to be God-centered. What I am centered on is always what I pursue. Just think about this in a logical standpoint here. If I'm constantly thinking about the house I need to buy, the car I need to drive, the mate I need to have, the money in the bank, whatever it might be, guess what I begin to think on all the day long? I am centered on this goal. I'm centered on whatever it is, and now it begins to just take over my life. Do you know the same principle works when you center your life, you center your affections, you center your hope, you center your joy, you center everything on God? The same thing happens in your life.
Yes.
You just begin to think on Him, His goodness, His glory. Matter of fact, Psalm 71:8 says this: let my mouth praise your name, God, and think on your glory all the day. Or write this verse down, Exodus 20:1-3. This is how serious God is about Him being first. Remember this account? Moses goes up on the mountain. He goes up on the mountain, and there he is, and he's communing with God, and then he comes down, and all the kids of Israel are behaving and sitting at their desks, right? They're just sitting at their desks, crisscross applesauce, right? There they are, just sitting there, right? No, we know the story. Well, they weren't centered on God. He proved himself over and over and over and over and over and over. Well, he's taken too long. Here, let's fashion ourselves our own God. When you talk about the world we're living in today, the USA today, boy, do we ever fashion ourselves our own gods. Exodus 20:1-3, this is how serious God takes His name and His glory. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Don't miss that. You shall have no other gods before me, period. The word no in Hebrew means no. Like there's no wiggle room. There's nothing at the bottom of your Bible under the Ten Commandments that say, you know what, there's a little leeway, a little latitude. If God's not enough in your life, go find something else. Here's the deal. God is serious. He's jealous for the fame of His name. He wants to make much of His name through you. And the way He makes much of His name through you as the sin that so easily besets all of us is that He puts us in situations where we have to rely on Him. We can't rely on our own to get out of it. Right. I made this note here. I said, anything that we desire more than God is an idol. Anything. Anything that I desire, you desire more than God is an idol. There can be good things. But there's also God things. Don't settle for good things. Be intentional about God things. I mean, think about this. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Set your mind. Where my mind is set towards is what I begin to meditate on, what I think on. That word meditate in the Hebrew there, especially there in Psalm, you look at Psalm 1, verse 3. That I meditate on the law day and night. It means to mutter, to murmur. And you're talking out loud to yourself. You're at the stoplight and you're just talking to yourself, and the guy next to you, he thinks, I can't wait till this light turns green because the guy in that car next to me has lost his mind. No, we haven't lost our mind. We found Jesus. Number one is to be God-centered. Number two is to be Christ-exalting. Christ-exalting. Make a note of this. What I exalt is always what I worship. What I exalt is always what I worship. Just think on this. That whatever today in your life that you are exalting, you are actually worshiping. Like I pray right now, my prayer right now through this message is that I and you are worshiping through the message. Like we're just worshiping. Like that's what we want to see, don't we? Man, we want to see how great God is. Yeah. Man, we want to worship through the sermon. God, you're great. You're greatly to be praised. There's none like you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for freeing me from drugs and alcohol and whatever it is in your life that you are struggling with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're just worshiping the Lord through the message. Because what we exalt is always what we worship.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. That's info@thisdayministries.org. Or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. That's This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.